It's Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. Before the break, we were talking about how the federal farm bill, now before Congress, will address hunger in the United States. Now, how the bill relates to energy. The legislation would boost alternative energy production in rural areas so that farms could produce fuel, not just food. So to conclude our series, we turn to Michael Bowman, a farmer from Ray. He's on the National Steering Committee for 25 by 25. It's a group whose members want 25% of the nation's energy generated on farms, ranches, and in forests by the year 2025. He's been following congressional action on the farm bill and joined me in the studio. Michael, welcome back to Colorado Matters.
Thanks for having me back, Ryan.
Is it safe to say that there is a bigger focus on energy in this year's farm bill?
Yes, we're seeing some real push towards programs which are going to encourage wind development, solar development, and in particular, biofuels development right now. I think that is really probably the most talked about subject of the three at this point in time.
Biofuels, we're talking about crops that are turned into fuels.
Yes, we'd be talking about biodiesel. We'd be talking about ethanol, both from cellulosic feedstock, that being switchgrass or trees, and then corn.
In the farm bill, the Bush administration is asking for $1.6 billion, with a B, dollars in new funding for renewable energy research. Much of that going to ethanol. What would that mean for Colorado farmers if that kind of money were directed?
Well, I think we've said for some time now that it's going to take a significant increase in the R&D budgets, at research and development budgets, at USDA to get us the technology that's going to deliver the amount of ethanol that both the president wants us to see produced in the United States, as well as what we believe we can bring from the farm gate.
Because at this point, there is not the infrastructure to do this on a massive scale. Is that the idea?
At this point in time, ethanol from cellulosic resources is still in some primal phases, not quite ready for prime time yet. And the cost of that ethanol, as it's being produced today from pilot projects, is significantly higher than that from corn ethanol.
Okay. This sexy term, cellulosic, appears all over the farm bill and coverage of the farm bill. Let's just give folks an idea for what it is. I mean, it's playing a very big role.
It is. And to reach, and I might say to reach the goal of the 35, 36 billion gallons that we want to get to, we know that that's going to have to come from cellulosic resources. Corn is only going to be able to fulfill a small part of that equation.
So corn is not cellulosic?
No. Corn, okay. No, it's not.
So what is cellulosic?
So cellulosic can be anything that's a waste product. So if, for instance, if you're a corn farmer, it could be the corn stalk. If you're a wheat farmer, it could be the wheat straw. If you're in the timber industry, it could be wood in our state. It could be beetle kill.
Trees killed off in the beetle,
right.
Of course.
In the southeast, it could be switchgrass, and probably will be switchgrass or a variation of that. The theory is it could be made from anything that grows.
I want to know why government assistance is necessary here. There are so many people talking about energy independence and biofuels. Isn't the market headed in this direction? Why do you need federal help to do it?
You know, we've been down this road before, Ryan. 20 years ago when we had gasohol, we had a budding industry that was moving ahead nicely, and then we had the world crude oil prices drop, which made the gasohol industry uncompetitive with crude oil. I think right now, we're certainly in a different world right now. We have $60 to $70 crude oil. It's likely that that's going to stay in that range. Given that scenario, the need for subsidies, you know, could certainly be argued. But given that our goal is energy independence, or certainly minimizing our dependence on foreign sources, and that we must get these industries established, I think it's important that we have some type of backstop, at least for the present time.
In this farm bill, there is a lot of debate about subsidies, and subsidies mm-hmm. that have traditionally gone to certain crops. Do you think that there should be subsidies for fuel crops?
Ryan, I think we're going to have some kind of transition program so we have the production of those crops in place when the technology catches up so it can be commercialized, so that we don't find ourselves in the unfortunate, you know, situation of having the technology developed, ready to go, and then not have a crop to run through it.
Anything else of note coming out of this farm bill, or potentially coming out of the farm bill, in terms of energy?
Well, there are some bills that are going to focus on small and community-owned wind projects. In one case, it also will focus on small solar projects, but predominantly the focus is wind, and it's going to focus on those communities that have been disadvantaged by the tax code and how wind has been developed today.
This farm bill has to address so many different needs. I mean, as past farm bills have as well. But you've got food stamps, you've got commodities, rural development is in there. And everyone is looking for more money this year. Will that make it hard to expand or create new energy programs?
Well, it will. Case in point, the bill that recently went through the House Ag Committee really came out with a business as usual. There was a lot of talk about some really progressive programs that would deal with conservation, that would deal with locally produced food. The organic community is certainly looking for some parity with the commodity groups. And I think there was a lot of hope that this farm bill would be the vehicle to open up those programs. That didn't happen.
That money would be transferred from traditional spending to, things like energy.
That's right. And one was going to come at the expense of another, given the severe constraints we have in the federal budget. Achieving that vision and having those programs put in place was going to have to come at the expense of whether it's rice, cotton, corn, wheat, milk. The programs that have traditionally been the benefactor of the subsidy programs.
And so are you nervous?
No, I think that on the Senate side, Senator Harkin will be leading the charge on the farm bill. And, he has said over and over he wants a farm bill that looks through the front window and not through the rearview mirror and to go a very different direction than we have. So I think we're going to see some real champions surface on the Senate side when we get there, and then it'll go to conference. And I think we'll see some incremental changes. I don't think we're going to see any, just really life-changing changes. But we'll see some moves, in another direction.
Does your farm get commodity subsidies?
We do.
You do?
We do.
Well, isn't that an interesting conundrum here?
Well, we are certainly inuring to the benefit of the corn prices right now. And so because of demand
for ethanol.
Right. The demand for ethanol has driven the price of corn up significantly. And for a change, we are getting the value of our product from the marketplace and not from a government check. From our particular perspective, we want to see a transition, some kind of transition program. What we're doing, we know we can't do for another generation. We hope to have avenues to move to wind, low-input biomass, the kind of things that will come out of research and development dollars being invested in those technologies. It's really, for us, it's not so much or as much as a continuation of the subsidy programs as are we going to have the natural resources to keep doing what we're doing? In our case, water from the Ogallala Aquifer and increasingly expensive energy to pump that water coming from coal-fired plants out of state. And, is long-term, is that going to continue? And I don't think it can in our case.
Now, livestock producers are fighting plans to increase funding for ethanol research and development because a lot of them are paying higher prices for corn as feed, not as fuel, and it's costing more to feed cattle. Should the farm bill support one kind of farmer at the expense of another in that way?
I just recently returned from Texas where we met with the Texas cattle feeders. And, this is high on their mind because Texas has grown their cattle industry in an area that is not the Corn Belt. And they've become dependent on corn being imported into their state to produce beef. So what you're seeing now is a movement of cattle back to the Midwest where the ethanol plants are located. And interestingly enough, if you have a cattle plant located next to an ethanol plant, those feeders are very happy because the byproduct of the ethanol process, the dry distillers grains, is a premium product. The cattle perform better with it, and it's effectively a lower cost feed for those who are within the vicinity of an ethanol plant.
Oh, I see. So both could be benefiting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both the power plant and the cows.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think that the cattle feeders made it clear that they have enjoyed low cost corn due to a subsidy program that has it provided them a lot of benefits over the last two decades. So they understand that they need to find a way to, become part of this new paradigm, which is probably going to be higher priced food. Now, the higher priced food isn't necessarily only from the price of corn rising or wheats or feed grains. It's the entire energy model that we have. All energy is driving up the cost of everything.
Michael, it's interesting. Congress is working on the farm bill with its energy elements. There's also an energy bill. that they're working on. And so I want to know, with the discussions you've heard, do you feel that between the two of them, you are getting closer to this goal of getting 25% of the nation's energy from farms and forests by 2025, what you've dubbed 25 by 25?
Well, we are certainly moving closer to that bar. We're encouraged by what has happened to date. It's probably fair to say that none of us are going to get everything we want. That's just the way it's going to work in D.C. That's why I've always been such a fan of state initiatives, because you can come closer to getting what you want at a state level. But we're certainly moving in the right direction. And with the leadership, I think, is committed. Both the president and both sides of the aisle in Congress, I think, are committed to making a change in direction.
Well, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Michael Bowman is a farmer from Ray and sits on the National Steering Committee for the group 25 by 25. That wraps up our three-day series on the Farm Bill and how it relates to Coloradans. You can hear the rest of the series on our website, kcfr.org.